Okay, we'll get started. Good morning, everybody. My name is Stephanie Marshall. I'm the Kitsap County Pro Tem Hearing Examiner. This is day three of the matter of the appeal of the Critical Area Buffer Reduction Notice of Administration, and sorry, Notice of Administrative Decision number 22-02629. We left off on November 14th with the applicants presenting their case. And let me just ask Ms. Liao, we had Eric Clark presenting testimony. Do you have additional testimony from Eric, for Mr. Clark to give this morning?
No,
No. Okay,
not for Mr. Clark,
great.
no.
And the other follow-up note that I had, Mr. Telegin, you were going to be sending your exhibit with photos.
I did.
Okay, fantastic. All
I
right,
and
yes.
can I raise one issue? 15 minutes ago, I received an updated witness and exhibit list with 16 new exhibits from Taylor Morrison and one new witness. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I would object to anything new at this point. 16 new exhibits, 15 minutes before the hearing, and a new witness is not adequate time to prepare. It also violates the requirement that we had to have our exhibits in by September 23rd.
Ms. Liao, please address.
These are all exhibits and witnesses in rebuttal to the testimony that we heard from appellants,
Okay.
which we would have continued on for the next day. But we have presented those this morning because those are when those are ready.
Okay. Mr. Telegin, how about as each of the new witnesses or exhibits are called and or presented, we address each one one by one?
We can do that, but I will have a standing objection to all the new ones. I mean,
Understood.
it's not a provided for in any rule that I'm aware of, and 15 minutes before the hearing is not adequate time,
No,
regardless of the rules.
and I would just say for the record, Mr. Telegin's witnesses provided no background information or no written information about their testimony in advance of this hearing. So applicants should absolutely be afforded the right to respond, having heard that information for the first time in the hearing when we last met.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Ms. Liao, you may continue with your next witness.
Before we do that, I just wanted to make a note. I'd sent an email out late last night that I know the hearing had originally been scheduled to end at 2 p.m. I just wanted to let you know that on our side, we cleared up any conflicts if the parties and examiner Marshall is available and desire to go past 2 p.m. today.
Yes, and I am. Mr. Telegin and Mr. Getchis, does going past 2 p.m. work for either or both of you?
That works for me.
It works for me until about 2:45. I have a 3 o'clock appointment.
Okay. Well, we will keep an eye on the time and also keep an eye on recording time so that we can take appropriate breaks for Ms. Walston. Okay, any other preliminary matters that we should be addressing before the applicant continues? Okay. All right, Ms. Liao, you may proceed.
Great. We'd like to call Gary Sharnbroy.
Should be connecting. There we go.
Good morning, Mr. Sean. How do I say your name? Sharnbroy? Broik?
Right.
Broik. Okay.
Not the
I
first.
won't. I won't try to just say your name. I might just refer to you as Gary, if that's all right. Would you please raise your right hand and swear or affirm that the testimony you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. Thank you. And make sure your volume's up, please.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Could you please state your name for the record?
Gary Chambray.
Okay, great. And I'm going to do my first attempt to share screen. Hold on just a moment. All right, and this is exhibit applicants. Oh, sorry, excuse me, respondent seven exhibit. Is this a copy of your resume?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Could you please tell us about your post-high school education?
Sure. I attended Oregon State University and got my Bachelor of Science degree in 1988 in civil engineering. That's the extent of my education.
Okay. And Gary, just you're a little muffled for me, so if you can speak up or a little bit more loudly, that would be appreciated. Great. Thank you. Do you have any licenses or professional certifications?
I do. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Washington.
Okay. And how long have you been licensed in Washington State?
Since 1993.
And have you been working in Washington continuously since that time?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Can you describe the types of projects you've worked on as a civil engineer?
Sure. Predominantly, it's been residential. We started out doing mainly multifamily when I started, apartments and condos, and then that switched to predominantly single family. And now we do a combination of both. We also do some commercial mixed use. There's several master plans that include all of the above, some minor industrial once in a while, but predominantly residential.
Approximately how many residential subdivisions have you worked on over the course of your career?
Oh, I would, it's well over 100. I don't know the exact number. It's, you know, at least 4, 5, 6 a year. I've been with the company for 35 years.
Okay, great. Have you designed stormwater drainage plans in your time as a civil engineer?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you work currently?
At Core Design.
And I think you might have just said it. How long have you been at Core Design?
35 years.
Okay. Pretty
much right out of school.
Okay. Can you describe your current position at Core Design?
Yes, I'm a principal, and I'm also the senior project manager. So I work on projects as well as help run the company.
Okay. And just keep speaking towards the mic if you can.
I was going to chime in. I'm taking notes, and I can hear you, but it would be great. I don't know where your microphone is on your computer, but yeah, it's I can hear you all right, but I would love it if I could hear you better.
Is that better?
Yes,
that's okay. I switched the mic up. It must have defaulted to the wrong one. Sorry.
Much better. Thank you. Okay. And I'm sorry, did you describe your current position at Core? I got distracted with the audio.
I did, yes.
Okay.
Principal and senior project manager.
Thank you. When did Core become involved with the Arborwood North project?
We were contacted by Taylor Morrison in the latter parts of 2021.
What is the scope of work that CORE is providing as on the Arborwood project?
We're doing all of the grading, utility design. We're helping with some of the planning and layout as well. We're doing surveying. So we've done topo work out there. We will do construction staking and construction management as well between myself and Eric Clark.
Have you worked on any of the permit submittals for the Arborwood North project?
Yes.
Okay. What is your specific role on Arborwood North?
I am the project manager on in helping to prepare the plans for the submittals. I manage a team of surveyors, landscape architects, and engineers, probably 6 to 8 people at different points of time. To get the plans prepared.
Are you responsible for the proposed stormwater plan for Arborwood North?
In a general sense, yes. I helped with the layout and concept. The technical side of that was designed by Michael Moody,
okay,
one of our professional engineers.
Okay. Was CORE involved with the preliminary plat stage back in the late 2000s for Arborwood?
No, we were not.
So you got involved after the preliminary plat was approved, correct?
That's correct.
Can you describe the work that CORE does moving from the approved preliminary plat process to the site development stage?
Sure. Initially, we looked at the original preliminary plat documents and the conditions that were laid out on those. We were also received the CAD files, the base files that were used to generate that. We worked with our client to see what product they wanted to put on that site and what kind of modifications might be necessary to do that. And if there were any modifications that were required, which there were. And then we're going to move forward from that to develop the final development plans for construction.
Can you just briefly describe the site improvements that had, as a part of the preliminary plat, been conceptually designed?
Yes, there's the site access for at the north and the south. The north, which is the portion that we're talking about, that Taylor Morrison is involved in, the spine road, which are the main connecting corridors through the site. There's four spine roads that were laid out. There's indicates bridges that are necessary in three different spots to cross creeks that are on the site in order to build those roads. There's conceptual storm drainage, stormwater management plans for locations of detention facilities and water quality facilities, conceptual utilities for stormwater or for sewer and for domestic water. And then in portions of it, there were some actual lot layouts, and the other rest of it was designated as future development tracts to be determined later.
Okay, great. Thank you. When CORE started, after CORE started, was retained to work on the post-preliminary plat stage, did you determine whether any changes would be necessary to construct the previously approved infrastructure for the plat?
Yes, we did.
Can you describe these?
Sure. The first one was the county wanted to install a roundabout at the north entrance off Kitsap Way, and instead of a signal. So we had to relay out that area and the layout of the road from that into the site. And then also, as I said, a different product type that Taylor Morrison was wanting to build on the site necessitated some lot layout changes and interior road changes on those specific pods. We also finalized kind of the layout of the road, which means, you know, taking a concept and actually calculating the geometry of it and finalizing it. So there were some very minor tweaks on that and some grading changes that would be necessary just to refine the design of the stormwater ponds and the lots.
And I apologize if you mentioned this before. Was there any work that needed to be done in connection with bridge crossings by your team?
Yes, we had the preliminary plat just conceptually showed the locations of some of the bridges and the kind of the grading that would be associated with it. We had to take that and actually prepare permit documents to be reviewed by the county and by the Department of Fisheries to obtain an HPA for that.
And those HPAs were needed because of the location of the bridge?
Yes.
Okay. And
crossing over a creek and a wetland, that we had to have their approval and get an HPA for those.
Okay. Are you familiar with the critical area reports that had been prepared for Arborwood before you started working on the project?
Yes.
How are those relevant to CORE's work as civil engineering?
They actually informed a lot of the base drawings. The locations of the wetlands that were on the site were in the base information that we received. The buffers that were associated with that were also in there. So that kind of helped define the envelope in which we were working, and also the requirements for doing any buffer adjustments as we went through the design.
Did CORE engage after you started working on the project with Joanne Bartlett of Environmental Land Services?
We didn't engage with her. We coordinated with her, yes, after she was engaged by Taylor Morrison.
Okay. So sorry. coordinated with her. We'll use yes. that term. Okay. So can you describe yes. your coordination with Ms. Bartlett since you started work on the project?
Sure. We provided her with our original grading concepts and grading designs so she could see the impacts we were looking at. We also did some, I believe, some staking out in the field just so she had some reference point to work from in a couple of areas, especially around the bridge crossings themselves. And then we reviewed her plans and she reviewed our work to see if we were in conformance with her recommendations.
Let's see. Have there been any new wetland fill, buffer modifications, or encroachments proposed by Taylor Morrison in this post-approved pre-plat phase?
There's minor adjustments to the impacts that were shown on the preliminary plat, and that's why the county was requiring a CABR, I assume, is for those adjustments around the perimeter where we graded in the ponds and where the road grades were finalized.
So was that when you describe adjustments, were those buffers, had those buffers previously been contemplated for being disturbed in terms of the amount of area that's changed, or were they totally brand new intrusions that you guys were proposing?
There were adjustments that were shown on the preliminary plat. It was just the geometry and the location and areas of those that were adjusted as we went and did the final grading. Some of the toes of slope may have pushed out or receded. So there was, a plus or a minus impact in certain small areas of around the perimeter of the site as the final grades were determined.
Got it. But there wasn't any sort of, we weren't planning to disturb X wetland X before in the plat. And now we're proposing to disturb the buffers around wetland X for, just by example.
No, the only change really from the original PPLAT was that the three wetlands, the 302, Q1, Q2, I believe, were determined to be not regulated. So rather than going through a wetland fill, which was indicated on the preliminary plat, we were allowed to work in that area without going through that process.
Okay. So speaking of wetlands Q1, Q2, and 302, can you just generally describe where those are shown on the original preliminary plat?
Yes, they're kind of in the center of the site near the entrance, the north entrance into phase 6.
Okay. Are you familiar with the geotechnical reports that have been prepared for the Arborwood North project?
Yes.
And who were those prepared by?
Zipper Zeman, I believe, was the first one. And then Terra Associates did the subsequent one that was when Taylor Morrison engaged them.
Okay. And how are the geotechnical reports relevant to CORE's civil engineering work?
It's like typically on other jobs, they show you how to or give you recommendations on how to deal with the soils on site, determine how you're dealing with drainage on site, if there's any issues we need to be aware of, placement of the material, if it's good, if there's soils that we shouldn't be using and need to be hauled off site, how much stripping is on the site. There's a lot of just recommendations for us, especially on a site like this where we're doing mass grading, where there's large cuts and large fills taking place. It's pretty important to abide by the recommendations in those reports.
Thank you. I'm going to pull up an exhibit. Give me just a moment. Come on, technology. All right, here we go. My apologies. Give me just a moment while my computer thinks. Okay, here we go. Let's try this. Liberty, do you have the next exhibit up? I, for some reason, it is my feed up is not being responsive at all. Okay, could you please pull up R20? Okay, thank you. All right. So this is respondents exhibit 20, which was submitted in the first by the original deadline for exhibits. Did CORP prepare this document?
We did.
Okay. When was this document prepared?
Approximately. I believe it was in July, sometime this summer, I believe.
Okay. Liberty, can you just zoom in a click or two? No, oh, that's probably good enough. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. That way you can see exactly what we're pointing to. Okay, great. Perfect. Does this, can you describe what this plan is showing?
It's basically showing the proposed improvements for phases 4 and 5, the north portion of the site.
Okay. And it, as we extend down, we might have clicked and went too far. Does it show portions of phase 6 as well?
Yes, it shows probably 2/3 of phase 6. The very south end is not shown on there. There's another, I don't know, several hundred feet of it that loops down.
Got it. Okay, and then scrolling back up, can you describe overall those improvements, just to orient us on the site here?
Sure. You can see the roundabout that has been that has been required up on the north entrance there. That's the layout of that and the reconfiguration of that intersection. Also in that corner, there's a detention pond that that's one of the changes we made from the preliminary plat to minimize impacts to the buffer along that creek. We designed that pond and took out a vault that was in there. It shows the spine road. Spine road A is the one you're seeing from the roundabout that goes down through the site. Spine road A is the main one that goes all the way north to south and provides access for Taylor Morrison and a secondary one for Pulte. And then it shows the layout for phase 4, the single family layout in the middle there at the top, and phase 5 to the west. It shows another larger, large stormwater detention and water quality pond. For phase 5 and other portions of the spine road there. Yeah, right where your cursor is pointing. And also, I don't know if you can see it on there. Maybe it's not. It shows a lift station up the sanitary sewer lift station up in track. I can't read the track number, but to the north of the pond is where the sanitary sewer lift station is going to be. And the rest of the sewer and water improvements are also shown on there, I believe. It also shows the north bridge, you can see it there, that's crossing Kingfisher Creek at the entrance. And then if you scroll down, it shows the crossing at the south, or yep, right there, that crosses that creek that feeds into Crabapple Creek.
Just to the southwest of the, where it says detention water quality pond on the
correct
hand side of the road. Okay, great, thank you.
Correct.
Great. Let's see. And, what's the name of the permit that's necessary to construct all of these improvements?
For the final is an SDAP.
An SDAP. And the SDAP that you've applied for so far, does it cover, which of the improvements on this plan does it cover?
It covers the improvements necessary for phases 4 and 5.
Okay. So it doesn't authorize the final improvements for phase 6?
No, it does not.
Okay. Liberty, can you zoom in there where it says Spine Road A? Thank you. Can you describe where the break is between phase 5 and phase 6 for purposes of this SDAP?
Yes, it's the as far as the road improvements go, it's you can see it just to the south of that entrance into phase five, right? This is Arborwood North phase five. There's you can see a kind of a change in the hatch color there. That's where the pavement improvements will end, and that's where the other improvements for phase six will begin as far as road construction.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'd like to move to admit exhibit R20.
Mr. Telegin, any objections?
No.
Okay. Thank you. It is admitted.
Great. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the this SDAP permit. So you mentioned that the there's going to be a separate permit for the phase six work. Has that been submitted yet?
No, it has not.
When will that be submitted?
I would assume probably sometime this spring. Okay. In the next few months.
Okay. Eric Clark previously testified as to an early clear and grading permit that's been submitted for, I believe he said phases 4, 5, and 6. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you explain why there is a early clear and grade application for phases 4, 5, and 6, but only an SDAP application for phases 4 and 5?
Yes, typically if the site, it all comes down to construction timing and the review for, because this is a complex site, we felt that we could expedite getting on site and doing some of the upfront work because the grading and the clearing is so extensive. With the amount of work that has to be done, if we could get that permit ahead of time while the details of the final design were being reviewed and approved by the county, we could shorten the construction window that we'd be working in. So we opted to try to get an early clearing grade to get out there as soon as possible when the weather turned.
And were there any practical reasons that you wanted to try to get out there for a certain construction window earlier rather than later?
Sure. We always want to be working on the ground as soon as the weather gets it dries out. We do not want to have this site opened up during the wet season if we can avoid it. You want to have most of the grading work done and the site stabilized when in October when the weather starts to get nasty. So that's the intention, is always to shorten that to maximize your construction within that window of time.
Great, thank you. Okay. I'm going to, I think I can share my screen this time. Document is behaving now. Okay. Can you see this document?
Yes.
Okay. This is Respondents Exhibit 8, R18. Can you please describe what this is?
Those are the early clearing grading plans. That's a cover sheet for it anyway.
Okay. And let me see if I can find a date for you. Do you know, can you read the,
Looks like it's July.
Yeah. Okay. So these are dated
July 3rd.
Yeah. What year?
2023.
Great. Thank you. Has this set of plans been submitted to the county?
It has.
All right. Can you just give us a quick page by page about what these plans show?
Sure. This sheet shows the general notes that are required by the county that indicate specs and methods of work that are required for grading, for erosion control. There's an inspection schedule on there that the county will follow. It's also a construction sequence that shows the order in which certain things are to be completed. In order to minimize any erosion and sedimentation impacts from this operation.
Great. I'm going to go to page 2, 3 here. Just generally speaking, what does this next page show describe?
It's basically an overall picture of the area that's proposed to be worked under this permit. You can see it's just a small portion of phase six that's going to be used, and that's the intention of that was because the earthwork doesn't balance out on 4 and 5, which means that the dirt that we're cutting doesn't provide enough fill to get those to final grades. So we need to go do some of the grading on phase six in order to generate dirt to fill basically phase five.
And does this effectively show the limits or all the areas that you'll be filling and grading in?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. So just briefly, can you describe what this next page four shows?
Yeah, this is the grading and erosion control plan, which shows the clearing limits, the protection of those limits that is required. It shows the sedimentation pond, which is basically the first one up in the top. Yeah, that corner right there is the final detention pond. In this case, we're using it for sedimentation and erosion control. The final layout of that will be done during the SDAP as far as control structures and that type of thing. For this, we're using it for sedimentation. There's also another pond that's shown in phase four that's temporary, simply because of the geometry of the site doesn't allow us to carry water until the road is completed from phase four over to that other pond. So we need a temporary pond in that area. It shows construction accesses with, you know, quarry spalls and things to try to minimize dirt that's being tracked out onto the public road. Shows interceptor swales and check dams and things to carry water to the ponds. It also shows how we're discharging from the ponds, which is a little different on this, and it incorporates methods that were found to be effective in phase one in the Pulte site, which is to, rather than just gravity feed out to a flow spreader, as will be done in the final condition, what we're doing is pumping out of these ponds and putting it into a dispersion or a flow spreader pipe, which is kind of like a long, kind of like a soaker hose, I guess you could see in a garden, where there'll be holes drilled in this pipe, and it will spread that flow out in a vegetated area, in an area that's forested, to try to maximize the treatment of that water prior to getting anywhere close to the wetlands.
Right. And this road, at least on this plan that's being shown here, is this a temporary road or part of the permanent road that'll eventually be built?
That is a temporary road because that would provide construction access only until that bridge is built. The bridge is going to be one of the main focuses right up front, is to get that constructed so that we can get construction traffic and everything else on that. In the meantime, yes, there is an existing small logging road, an access that goes through there, and we're showing that to be stabilized, and that will be used temporarily and until that bridge is completed.
Great. I'm going to move down a page five. So this, I believe, shows a continuation of the plan to the west. Is that correct?
It does. And it shows the other detention pond, which we're also using for sedimentation. It shows in this point, we don't need a pump. We can gravity feed out and put it into the same type of a flow spreader. We have enough fall to do that. There is a pump out of the south end of that pond that will disperse water in another flow spreader system there. And it shows the interceptor swales that are necessary to carry the water to those ponds, to that pond in particular.
Great. You see here. I'm going to scroll down one more page. And so I believe this going further south then from what we were just looking at?
It is.
Okay. And what is this showing here?
This is showing the extension of the spine road to the south, and the fill that's associated with that in this area that we've been talking about, and the swale that will be constructed. All the construction stormwater would be routed to the north up to that main sedimentation pond for treatment prior to release.
And where is that shown here
right
on the...
Just to the right, that swale right there, that road, which is basically the roadside ditch, that swale. And then there's a temporary culvert that will go across the road and carry that water through phase five up to the north. And that will discharge into that large detention pond or sediment pond in this phase.
Very good. And then I'll just to be a completionist as I am, this page 7, is this a continuation to the south into phase 6?
It is. Yep. It's a continuation to the south. And we have another temporary pond as well as this pond that we've added in here. That's another change from the preliminary plat. We've added another pond to treat some of the spine road there. And that will be used for sedimentation as well as a temporary pond up above, because this area in this phase, that park, this is going to be a park eventually, and it may not be filled all the way to final grade as part of this early clearing grade. So we have a temporary pond up there so that we can make sure we're catching the runoff there until this thing is brought up to final grade.
Okay. And then
it also shows the bridge.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it shows the bridge. Thank you. That is here. Is that correct?
Yep. Okay. That's the south bridge.
Thank you. And then this last sheet here, number 8.
Yep.
Is this a continuation again further to the south?
It is. That's the phase 6 portion. The majority of that is, well, not the majority, but there is a large portion of it. It is the detention pond that's going to be constructed for a large part of phase 6. That one right there, we're going to use that for sedimentation control again, with another pump and flow spreader out of it. And then it shows basically a rough grading of the access that will be into phase 6 and an area that will effectively be a mine. We're going to mine structural material out of phase 6 in that area to provide fill for phase 5 and 4.
Okay. And then I'll just, the last sheet, are these just, technical?
Those are BMP details, yes.
Great, very good. Approximately how long will the work that's shown on this complete plan set take to complete?
I don't know for sure. I would venture to guess that there's a lot of fill to get it. If we just went simply to the grades that show in there and we weren't doing anything else, it's probably got to be at least 6 months. The intent would be to start this, get as much done as we possibly can, the intention right now is to pad out phase 4. Then we will continue to grade phase 5 and to the south, do the clearing of phase 6 while the infrastructure is started to the north, the bridges, the utilities and all that stuff. So there'll be some overlap of this work and the work in the SDAP if all the permits are issued in the order that we're anticipating.
Okay. And earlier I think you spoke to the construction season work. Is this all work that with all that work would happen during the dry season? Am I tracking that correctly from your earlier testimony?
That is the intention, is for all this, at least the grading work, to be done. I mean, there's always, we're trying to provide enough flexibility in these plans. You have issues with, obviously, with weather, with permitting that may come up. There may be market conditions where they decide to not work on as much of a an area as they want to, or as they're anticipating now. So we've got multiple phases of construction that are indicated on here. If a portion we're not going to proceed with in that season, we would plant it, stabilize it, and get it ready so it can withstand, you know, the wet season and get all the infrastructure in place so we won't have erosion issues. I can't tell you for sure if everything is going to be completed in that time period. There may be a little bit of work that goes into the wet season, but that is definitely our intention, is to not work as far as grading goes in the wet season.
Great. And then finally, what is your current understanding of the status of the permit review and for this ECG permit?
My understanding is, with maybe just a couple of minor note changes, if that, it's ready to issue.
Okay. I'd like to move to admit R18.
Okay, Mr. Telligen, any objections?
No.
Okay, thank you. It is admitted.
I am going to move to R22. Can you describe what this is? This is just a one-page document. Can you describe what, Gary, what this is?
It looks like the cover sheet for the SDAP plans for phase 4 and 5.
Okay. And I'm just going to refer to this column here called sheet index.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to object to this exhibit in particular. I don't know if this, you want me to do it now, but usually we admit things before we start talking about them. But this looks like a document that was dated quite a while ago, and it was just submitted 15 minutes ago.
Right. Ms. Liao, can you, I know that in general, you spoke to the fact that these additional exhibits are being offered to rebut some of the appellant's case and some of the testimony that you heard that the applicant and the parties heard for the first time. So if you could address the timing of presenting this exhibit.
Certainly. Yeah. Actually, in our initial list of submittals, we'll have to pull those page numbers really quick. We did submit various sheets from this full set of SDAP plans. Okay. Those were, I believe, exhibits R10, R11, R12, and R13, which we haven't gotten to yet. In hearing the appellant's testimony, which extensively dealt with the stormwater plan proposed for the Arborwood site, we realized that there was a larger story to tell based on the allegations that the appellants have made with regards to the stormwater system that's being proposed for the Arborwood plan. So in all fairness, we think it's important to fully share with the hearing examiner the stormwater plan that is still under development and still under review by the county. This particular exhibit is really just the index showing the cover sheet to those other R10 through R13 that were already proposed for admission.
Okay, so this is related to R10, 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to go ahead and allow admission over appellant's objection, which is noted for the record. You may now proceed to continue your questions.
May I object on different points? I had no idea what this document was. I mean, I'm just seeing it for the first time.
Go on.
Fair enough. So we haven't gotten to exhibits, was it R11, 10, 11, 12, et cetera. All of those appear to post-date the document that is in the foundational documents that is described as the storm drainage plans for the CABR. So if we're talking about storm drainage plans that post-date the CABR that weren't before the county, I don't know what relevance they have.
And we will provide testimony that the F-16 document that was presented as part of the CABR file were not the only plans that have been submitted to the county at the time that the CABR was approved.
Fair enough. But I guess if it wasn't considered as part of the CABR, I would object on relevance grounds.
And I would respond to that by saying that as we get through the testimony of many people to come, that the CABR has been extricated from the site development activities permit process, which actually was initiated before the CABR. So what we are talking about here is literally different files in the county system that are all a part of the same project that had been processed and reviewed at the same time.
And as long as we're just talking, but I guess it seems like the developer or Taylor Morrison has a big problem with the fact that the CABR was not done in conjunction with the SDAP plans. That seems to be the narrative we've been hearing beginning with Mr. Clark's testimony. And so if the problem is that the Taylor Morrison thinks they followed a wrong procedure and those should not have been broken apart, Taylor Morrison didn't appeal this permit. This is our appeal. Why are we talking about the city's procedures and whether they did it this way or that way? We should be talking about what the county looked at and evaluated to make the decision that we're actually talking about. And I'll leave it there.
Okay, parties. I mentioned this in my initial order on pre-hearing motions. back on the 13th. Typically, as a hearing examiner, I admit just about everything. I mean, unless there's just way, way far out off base. And then I weigh the, you know, decide how much weight to give to the evidence that is submitted, to the exhibits, to the testimony, et cetera. I definitely hear that we're kind of going towards legal arguments. And I want to reiterate that the parties will have the opportunity in closing, whether you want to have an oral closing argument or written. I think we kind of had discussed a written closing argument. You know, I'm definitely hearing what the objections are, and my the weight that I give to the various exhibits that are admitted will be set forth in a final decision. I think at this point, you know, I want to hear the world of evidence, you know, on both sides. So just for the record, it's going to be a rare instance that I sustain an objection to admitting an exhibit. But as I stated earlier, I do want to take each one up as they come in along with Mr. Telgen's standing objection. So I appreciate everybody's time. And I am hearing your positions, and you know, let's just continue with the questions and then the weight that I give to this and the focus of the case and the arguments is something that will be addressed in the decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, then I'll proceed. Can I just for logistical purposes consider this admitted or do we need to establish?
Yes, it will be admitted.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Yes. So thank you.
Could I ask which exhibit number is this? R21?
R22.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Great. Let's see. Mr. Sharnbroy, I'm going to go back to referring you to this sheet index here on this page. Can you generally this sheet index? Is this a list of all the plans that are included in this SDAP set?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And can you just generally describe the difference between the various sheets included in this plan set compared to the ECG plan set?
Sure. The first five or six of them are, as it says, there's conditions of approval from both the preliminary plat and the amendments that came after in the development agreement. Those are listed in there. And horizontal control, which is basically the geometry control of the site. There's temporary erosion control plans, which are basically what's shown on the ES or on the ECG plans. And then grading plans, road section details to show how you're building the roads, specs for that. The bridges are shown in there for reference, even though those are two separate permits, but the bridge details are shown. Roundabouts, there's a storm drainage plans that show the collection system and conveyance system of stormwater to the ponds and pond details for that, how those are all to be constructed. There's also sanitary sewer plans in this set. There's a lift station that's going to be constructed under a separate permit, but in conjunction with this, and then the forest main and the gravity main that will go to and from that. There's a landscape set in here for the final landscaping of the site. And then it also references the plans at the bottom, the Kitsap County PUD water plans are not reviewed as part of this SDAP, but they are included for reference. And those have been reviewed by the PUD and approved at this point for the domestic water service.
Great, thank you. Do you know which version of dated version of plans this cover sheet pertains to?
I don't know. Unless you don't know? Okay. The date on
the side. We'll get that as we go on to the other exhibits that include some of those plans. So that's fine. Can you let us know the current state of review of the SDAP plans?
Sure. We received comments. Oh, I can't remember when we received first comments. It was early this year, and responded to those. That said, we have not received our official second request for information, is what it's called. We have received some comments from the storm drainage reviewer, Cecilia, and from Public Works on Transportation back in June and August, I believe. So we've been able to start addressing some of their comments on the road geometry and the storm drainage designs, but that has not been resubmitted because we have not received a full comment letter yet from them. That's pending and should be at any time now, and then we can finalize that and resubmit.
So the plans are still in a state of change based on the county's review and comments.
Yes, they are. Okay. Today they are, we're going through the comments that, and there's nothing been finalized on this yet. We're still updating and changing.
Okay. I'm actually going to switch now to another new exhibit, R25, which I will show here, is which is going to be SD3 as shown on this sheet index. So I'll pause and take a minute to see if we need to deal with standing
objection. Ms. Liao, you said it's sheet SD3?
I apologize. It's sheet SD2.
Okay. Is that not exhibit R11?
You know what? It very well might be. That's correct. It is. It is also R11.
Okay.
And you know what, though? I apologize. I may have brought up the wrong plan. Give me just a moment. This is the problem with too many exhibits. Yes, I do have the right one. I realize it is multiple pages. So I'm actually going to, this is SD2, page 2, that which is, you're right, also R11. Okay. I'm actually going to take us to the next page, SD3, which is R12. Yes, thank you. I apologize. Okay. Yes. And look, there's
before you begin your questions.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm talking over you, Mr. Telegin. It appears that we're going to be talking about exhibits R11 and R12. Before we go down that road, do the appellants have any objections to these two exhibits being admitted?
So are we doing R11 and R12, or are we doing R25?
Well, it appears, okay, I'll let the applicant's attorney address that.
Sure. We had originally submitted R10 and R11 as separate exhibits. Let me just go ahead for purposes of R25 is. R25 includes SD2, which is R11, SD3, which is R12. It also includes SD4. Which was R13. And then there are additional portions of the larger set which had not previously been included. Those are Storm 8, RD9, and SD17, and SD20. Those were all part of the same SDAP full set of shown on the index.
Yeah, so I would object to all the stuff that wasn't submitted before, including it looks like all those, I'm not sure what they are yet, but they are technical drawings that you scrolled past that were not included in the last exhibit set. I don't know what they relate to. I don't know what they are. I haven't had time to review them. Neither have any of my witnesses. And I haven't heard a concrete answer of what they respond to. So I understand the examiner's position, but just to say for the record, right. I would certainly object, not only on the grounds I've stated, but also on, I've never seen these before. And I should have time to think about it and review it.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Liao, what is your response for the record to Mr. Elgin's objection?
Yeah, you know what, give me a moment. Can you give me just a moment and I'll come back to you, because we may be able to just use R11, 12, and 13. I don't know that I need those extra sheets. So give me just a moment to confer with my co-counsel. Hold on just a moment.
do the parties, would it help or would it be useful to take a 5-minute break? I know we've only been going, you know, not even quite an hour, but just so that we're not sitting and waiting.
Yes, thank you. I think a 5-minute break would be helpful.
Okay, great. We will go off the record for 5 minutes. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.